This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back to the Daily Digest on The Bigger Picture. I'm Darshan Johan, and with me in the studio is Julia Jacobs and Lim Soo Ann. So before the break, we talked about helping kids cope with the pandemic and how the Suriana Welfare Society is helping children in the B40 community cope with stresses of the pandemic. So now let's talk about corruption in the country. So Transparency International has released the Global Corruption Barometer for Asia 2020. 20,000 people from 17 different countries, including Malaysia, were polled from July 2019 to June 2020. So what do Malaysians think about corruption in the country? Well, 71% of Malaysians think that government corruption is a big problem. 36% of the respondents found members of parliament to be corrupt. 39% strongly believe that corruption is on the rise in this country. Parliament, the police, and government officials were perceived by the most by the respondents to be the most corrupt out of the public institutions. But here's what's interesting: 67% feel that the Malaysian government is doing a good job of fighting corruption. This is higher than the average in Asia, which is 63%.
Yep, that's right. And here are some other noteworthy findings from the survey. So about 7% of Malaysian surveys say that they've been bribed for their vote in an election. So this is lower than the Asian average of 14%. Now, another 15% of surveyed Malaysians have utilized personal connections when accessing public services, which is lower than the average in Asia of 22%. And another 68% still believe that ordinary people can make a difference in fighting corruption, which is higher than the average in Asia of 62%.
Yes, so there's a lot of numbers to digest there, but don't worry, we've got you covered. We'll be speaking to the president of Transparency International Malaysia shortly, to help us put all these numbers into perspective. But what's interesting is that while the survey was being done, we had a change in government. So half the study was conducted during Pakatan Harapan's time as the government, while the other half was during Perikatan Nasional's. So this means that it will be quite difficult to pinpoint exactly which side contributed to what statistic, though perhaps our guests will be able to make some educated guesses.
Yes, and on that note, joining us on the line right now is Dr. Mohamad Mohan, President of Transparency International Malaysia. So welcome to the show, Dr. Mohan. Perhaps you can start by telling us what stood out to you the most in the study.
Thank you very much for having me. The two things that has come up very prominently in this survey, one is the corruption by the institutions. So institutions here, it refers to like the Prime Minister's Department, members of parliament, police, judges, and so on. You know? And the second prominent thing that has come up is the general perception among Malaysians that government corruption is a big problem. So when I make the analysis, especially on the corruption by institution, where it indicates the percentage who think that people in these institutions are corrupt, members of parliament and police come top. Now, 36% Malaysians feel that members of parliament are corrupt, and 30% think that the police are corrupt. Now, this is not surprising, especially for people who are following this survey year after year, because even in the previous years, the police and the politicians have always been the top two most corrupt institutions in Malaysia. Now, the second one that is very prominent is 71% of Malaysians think that corruption is a big problem. And this means that the general perception among Malaysians is that the level of corruption, especially in the public sector, is high. And as you can see, recent arrests of several civil servants in public officials from the Immigration Department, from KPK, from the police force, all suspected of involvement in corruption, confirms this perception among Malaysians. So these are the two prominent things that has come up from this survey.
Okay, the survey finds that 39% of Malaysians believe that corruption is on the rise. As we know, currently the likes of former Prime Minister Najib Razak and Secretary General of DAP Lim Guan Eng are facing corruption charges. So why does more than one-third of Malaysians surveyed believe that corruption is still on the rise?
Okay, you see, the issue of former Prime Minister standing trial for one MDB is an issue that is known to all. It's a grand corruption, and the first trial is over. He was convicted, although he's appealing. But that doesn't mean that we have solved the problems of corruption in the country. There are things like petty corruption, political corruption, which is still occurring. If you see in the survey, GCB findings, 13% of Malaysians surveyed indicated that they paid a bribe for public services. Or political corruption, not only in general elections, but also in by-elections, state elections, or even party elections, where money politics is involved. So, and the survey indicates that 7% of people offered bribes in exchange for votes. So, offering bribes need not necessarily be cash, and it can be a promise of any form of gratification by abuse of power for personal gain. So, it is no surprise that Malaysians still think that corruption is on the rise and is concentrated more in the public sector among the civil servants and the lawmakers who are in power. So even though the high-profile cases, some of them have been convicted and some are on trial, but perception among Malaysians is that the corruption is still on the rise. And also another factor is, especially when high-profile cases, suddenly you hear that they get acquitted. They get a discharge not amounting to acquittal. So these kind of things, the public generally feels that, you know, things are still not okay and corruption is still on the rise.
So, Dr. Mohan, you mentioned bribing in exchange for votes. And it seems like every time there is an election campaign, experts will tell us about how it's going to start raining cash in many areas, for example. What can we actually do about this?
Unfortunately, in Malaysia, we do not have a Political Financing Act in our country. In fact, CIA Malaysia had been advocating this and pushing for this in the last 10 years. And we are aware that there is a draft bill. Actually, it was prepared by the initiated by the previous government, Pakatan Harapan. It's ready, but whether it will be tabled in Parliament in this sitting or next sitting, we are not sure. You know, but people getting bribed during elections is common. I mean, we hear of all this every time. You know, for example, like paying voters 50 ringgit to return to their hometown to vote is a bribe. You know, or offering some kind of gifts during election for voters is also a bribe. So as I said, this is not very specific to general election. This can happen even in state elections or by elections or even party elections, you know. So for some election candidates, when there are funders with private interests, and when candidates have the money, they will bribe voters. So highly likely the candidate who used this money to bribe, definitely they will win, you know. So when these corrupt candidates win, those who funded them will expect something in return. Right? So this is what we call state capture. And this is a very systematic political corruption in which private interests have significant influence on the state's decision-making process in the future. So it is important to understand that monetization of politics is a widespread phenomenon in Malaysia, and it contributes to the cancer of corruption in our country. So it is important because of that the government has to undertake reforms, institutional reforms and legislation to relevant to political financing. I can give examples, especially in Europe, for example, in Germany, for example, they have a good system whereby the state actually funds the parties. Depending on your previous election, how many seats you have won, and based on that, they have a formula. And actually, the state will fund your political party. So you don't need to raise funds from the others, apart from membership fees and so on. And on top of that, the public can also donate to political parties, and they get tax exemption for up to a certain amount. So it is very regulated in other countries, and this is the reason why we are pushing for the Political Financing Act in Malaysia, which we don't have at the moment.
And can you just help clarify what the Political Financing Act is exactly?
Okay, under the Political Financing Act, for example, one of the recommendations we have made is for the state to fund the political party. You know, so like for example, if you particularly you're in a particular constituency, depending on the size of the constituency, there is a formula given to fund it from the state. That means that basically the state will fund it, you know. And the other recommendations we have made is when they get funding from various sources, they have to make a disclosure of all sources of financing and expenditure to the election commission after the election. You see, under the current Election Commission Act, the political parties in each constituency, they are supposed to spend something like 200,000. But in reality, they spend more than that, you know. So where are they getting these funds? So at this moment, the Act doesn't regulate any disclosure. So this is the reason why some who have a lot of deep pockets, you know, they tend to do well. And that's where bribery happens. And you can see during political by-elections or state elections or general elections, a lot of money is being transferred here and there. See? So these are some of the things that we have made a recommendation. We also have made recommendation to introduce a mechanism, for example, to introduce a neutral caretaker government after the elections are called. You know, that means a neutral, like a judge or something like that. They should be in charge of the government during that time. So these are all part of the recommendations that we have given in the past.
Dr. Mohan, I'm also wondering if politicians, regardless of which side of the aisle they are on, taking up positions in government-linked companies is one of the reasons why people think corruption is still a problem in Malaysia.
You're right. In a sense that, you see, when politicians take up positions as chairman of GLCs, CI has actually voiced out very loud and clear that politicians should not sit in GLCs. The reason is the past record has shown, you know, I mean, even if you look at the FGV case before and also many other cases, maybe in Tabung Haji, all these are lessons to be learned, you know. So we are of the view that politicians, it's best for you to stay out of these GLCs and do your part in protecting the public interest. So that is the reason when you have a lot of politicians sitting in the GLCs, naturally the public perception is going to be negative. Although they may be qualified and so on, but I think it's best to leave it to the technocrats to handle this.
So the study found that 67% of Malaysians find that the government is doing a good job at fighting corruption. What do you think that is?
Okay, you see, we have to consider the timing of this research. When this Global Corruption Barometer Asia 2020 was done, the period when the assessment was between June 2019 and July 2020. So we had two different governments. Now, the first half was under the Pakatan Harapan government, and the second half was under the Perikatan National Government. Now, the PH government, when they came to power, they had a very clear reform agenda. It was clear in their manifesto. And so they came in, they were very anxious to deliver their promises. And so they went for the high-profile cases. You know, the 1MDB, the FGV, the Tabung Haji cases, and number of people were arrested and charged and put on trial and so on. But after 22 months, when the PM government came, which was the second half of this survey, they faced a different issue. They faced with the economic downturn and the pandemic COVID-19 problems and so on. But at the same time, we also need to give some credit to the PM government. Like, for example, the provision of corporate liability, Section 17, Capital A, that case was supposed to be enforced in June this year. And that was a very tricky decision because the government had not gazetted the date for enforcement. So this is where the PM government also, advised, of course, by civil society and also people like DICC and so on, and they chose the path to enforce it. And so that probably is one of the reasons that public perception during this period, they feel that the efforts to fight against corruption is still there. But this can change within a short period of time when you have some of these high-profile cases being dropped. So when you have that kind of situation, so public perception can shift. Public actually look at arrest is one thing, but number of cases of conviction. You know, sometimes after 5 years, that guy gets acquitted, then it's gone. So generally the public have that impression that, you know, okay, all these arrests are there, but, you know, nothing will come out of it. You know, that thinking is still there. So this 67% actually it is a follow-through from the previous government up to now. Perhaps when we do a survey, maybe 1 year down the road, we might get a different result. So that is how I read it, this 67%.
Okay, so there are some parts of the study that seem to indicate that we're doing better than most Asian countries in terms of corruption. But where does Malaysia rank in Asia as well as the globe when it comes to corruption?
All right. In the GCB study, basically it is a comparison between one country to other. So this is because the GCB is the sample size is very big. It's 1,000 samples. And it cuts across the citizens. So the survey was done from Perlis to Johor, Kuching to Kota Kinabalu. You know, so the whole East and West Malaysia has been included. So here, basically, when we compare with other Asian countries, we are trying to benchmark between, say, Sri Lanka and Malaysia, or India and Malaysia, and that kind of thing. So it doesn't give a rank overall. However, there is another survey that we is done yearly, and that is normally released in January. That is called Corruption Perception Index. Now, for 2019, which was released in early this year, 2019, Malaysia's rank was 51 globally, and we were ranked 7th in Asia. And among ASEAN countries, we were number 3 after Singapore and Brunei. So that is the Corruption Perception Index. But remember, the Corruption Perception Index is the corruption in the public sector. It doesn't take into consideration the private sector. But the GCB, it cuts across. You're actually interviewing the normal citizens. You know, it can be a housewife, can be a lawyer, can be an engineer, can be a doctor, or any normal people.
Okay, and what systemic and structural changes do we need to have in place to ensure that corruption, especially large-scale ones involving politicians, do not happen?
Okay, basically, when we involve politicians, we really look at political corruption or in the case like one MDB, grand corruption, we call it, you know. So the first thing is, as we discussed throughout this morning, we talked a lot about political funding. The political funding in this country has to be regulated. And I want to tell you that throughout our past 10 years engaging with politicians, both sides of the political divide, the opposition as well as the ruling government, both are against this. Both sides do not want to support this act because they simply they don't want it to be regulated. Because when you're regulated, you got to declare, you got to make a disclosure and so on. So to avoid this, first thing is Political Funding Act should come in. Now, the second thing is politicians should not sit in the GLT board. It is best left to technocrats who are qualified and they are made accountable for their performance. What the politicians should do, they should go and sit in the various parliamentary select committees. The idea here is so that they act as a check and balance to protect the public interest. Supposing a company like maybe Tabung Haji or what, you know, then if the results are not there, and whoever who is running it have to face the parliamentary select committees and so on. So that is one thing. And the other thing that reforms that we need to do is asset declaration. Today's parties who are ruling, component or coalition of parties they are ruling, they say that they will declare as long as they are in power. That means they are ruling, they are part of the ruling government. But when they shift to the opposition, they say they don't need to declare because we are not running in the government. So the best way to do this is to mandate this. That means there must be a law for all lawmakers to declare their assets. How much salary they get, what are their physical assets, or how much is valued, and it should be published. And this is not only for cabinet ministers, it should include all elected representatives. So today, that is not there. There is no law for that, and because of that, they don't declare. Now, the other last thing that I would like to say that is the power of MACC. The chief commissioner's appointment of MACC should be done by parliament. No, it shouldn't be done by the Prime Minister so that he can act without fear or favor. And even if he has to act against the ruling government or even the Prime Minister, he should not worry about his job. You know? So these are some of the reforms or structural changes that are very urgently needed so that corruption involving politicians can be stopped.
All right. Thank you so much, Dr. Mohan. That was Dr. Mohamad Mohan, the president of Transparency International Malaysia, helping us unpack the Global Corruption Barometer for Asia 2020 study.
So yes, you know, just listening to what Dr. Mohan had to say, I think it's safe to say that there's plenty of work left to be done in Malaysia, mm-hmm. especially as far as corruption is concerned. Right now, I think the system tends to favor the government of the day, and a lot of times we have to hope that it's a good and clean government, or else it's very easy for abuse of power to happen. I think it's high time the system itself gets an upgrade, right? The Political Financing Act that was brought up by Dr. Mohan could be one way to combat corruption.
And there are also other measures that could be in place, right? For example, it should be a mandate that the Prime Minister cannot hold multiple positions in office, and all elected officials cannot hold important positions in GLCs as well.
Yes, well, that's all the time we have for today's show. If you missed any part of the show, you can download the podcast on the BFM app, bfm.my/thedailydigest. Sorry, bfm.my/dailydigest. You can also find us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts. Keep sending us your thoughts. You can tweet us at BFM Radio, WhatsApp 018-789-8899. If you'd like to get in touch with us, the Bigger Picture Gang, you can find us on Facebook, The Bigger Picture. And coming up after the 3 p.m. news on Front Row, Sharmila Ganesan will be speaking to Patrick Flores, the professor of art studies at the University of Philippines, who is a curator of Vargas Museum in Manila, on what the future holds for the art scene in Southeast Asia after what I think many consider a disastrous 2020 thanks to COVID-19. So do stay tuned for that. Once again, I'm Darshan Johan with Julia Jacobs and Lim Suan, and we'll leave you with Stop by Against Me, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.